It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up, because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Welcome to Fight Mixer TV. How's everyone doing tonight? See, I got a.
Well, if you mean by everybody, me, I'm doing great.
They upped our production value, and I finally got a boom mic. This is actually like really high quality, sir. Well done. Well done. Can you hear my thoughts? Man, I'm not a pussy. Oh my god! Holy crap! That quality, beautiful. Welcome to Fight Mixer. Gabe is not with us. Well, he's not, you know, he's not dead or anything.
He passed.
He has things to do. Also, if you haven't already, this is sponsored by Durango Protein. Make sure if you haven't already, buy some Durango Protein. We'll get your bulk, won't make your dick bigger, but it's great, great product. Make sure to buy some Durango Protein. I got some of their testosterone because I couldn't
afford it. This is actually not the protein. This is the pre-workout.
Yeah.
No crash whatsoever.
And like the testosterone, I took the pills, the supplements, the testosterone. It's great, you know. It's the next best thing next to antibiotic steroids. You know what I'm saying?
It's close.
Big episode. We have Jose Shorey Torres. He's going to be coming on shortly. Sponsored by Dranger. Also sponsored by Gabe Gym in California. If you're in the California area, if you want to train some jiu-jitsu with a jiu-jitsu black belt, former 3-time world champion, also UFC veteran. Train with Gabe. Also, number 11 on Amazon worldwide. Make sure we're watching each other right now, but make sure you download the episodes on Amazon. Amazon Prime.
Download the app. It's a smart TV app. So on almost all your major devices, that's Roku, Apple TV, and Fire Stick. You can download the app. You can watch it whenever. You know, when you and your spouse are getting in that mood, you can pull up a Fight Mixer episode and get a little freaky.
Yeah, and if you get freaky during one of our episodes and you have a baby, I will personally baptize it for you. I'll personally send you some some baby gifts. Just let me know.
So any update on Shorty?
Right now we are awaiting his appearance. He was very busy, man. We were I met him in Florida, and I'm like, dude, like after your fight, we gotta bring you on, man. We gotta talk to him. And he's a friend of Justin. Justin was a former host of ours. Justin is a very busy man. He's also a director of a movie, award-winning director. We also saw him down in Florida. I love Justin. Justin, you know, it wasn't fitting in his schedule. He's a full-time dad, full-time husband, and you know, he's got some big things in the pipeline. He won a lot of awards for his last movie. He also is a videographer for Titan FC on UFC Fight Pass. Our friend is very, very busy, so obviously he couldn't afford us some time. He was going to come on tonight, but he got a little camera shy, so he'll be participating. And we are still awaiting Shorty, and there he is.
I'm here. I'm sorry, better late than never. But
the myth, the legend.
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Actually, you know, so I started a food review series right after my fight, especially, you know, fight week. I'm a guy that's like looking at food porn, torturing myself because I can't eat it. So I'm like, oh man, I want that. In the process, I'm looking at all these channels and I'm like, no offense to these food review guys, but I feel like I can do a way better job. And especially after COVID, it could really help a lot of these local businesses get back on their feet. And for me, I just left a place called Osito Tap, and man, they just rocked my world. I'm just like, I'm having like a food coma right now, but it's a beautiful thing. Like, this is the way I want to go. This is the way I want to go out.
The multi-talented Jose Shorey Torres, commentator, fighter, also an actor. We'll get into that a little bit. Justin says some footage. But congratulations, by the way. Huge victory for Brave. You fought a very game opponent. Also, sidebar, also Conor McGregor's teammate and stablemate. How are you feeling, you know, during the fight? How are you feeling? And how are you feeling now that you just checked yourself into the semifinals of the tournament?
Yo, I'm very happy I'm finally in the semifinals because it's been over a year and a half and, you know, since this tournament's been announced. So finally being in the semis is awesome. But the other side, they're in the finals. So I'm like, oh, I got to get back to it as fast as possible. You see these chubby cheeks, it's going to take a little while. But, you know, man, the opponent switch, it was mentally a little difficult because I can't physically train for it. You have Sean Centella, who's a second-degree black belt, great at BJJ, and we saw the first fight go to a draw. He's very tough on the ground, so my whole six-month training camp was focused on that. Going to Blaine O'Driscoll, I love a stand-up game. I'm happy about it. The only problem is mentally you have to – it's a whole different game plan. And the problem for me is like, okay, I could be an MMA fighter, and I think it could be a much easier win. But then I got prideful, and he was like, oh, Shorty's going to shoot first because I'm a better pressure fighter. And I'm like, bet. All right, we'll see who shoots first. And then I'm taking all these shots, unnecessary shots, in, you know, to the face and the body, all that stuff. And I'm getting beat up, and obviously I was able to put my own back and drop him, and he finally shot first. I'm like, ha-ha, you shot first. Fair game. I get to shoot, and that's why the remainder of the second and the last third round, I was able to just out-wrestle and be like, you know what? This is the smart fight. This is the way it should go. And it should have been a way different outcome, or at least an easier fight if I would have just been an MMA fighter, or at least had my coach. And again, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but I'm just happy that I put on a show for the fans, was the fans, you know, fight of the night. And overall, I'm in the semifinals, and I'll take the W. I don't care about my performance. Yeah, I had an injured foot. People who don't know, I had a torn ligament in my foot 2 weeks before the fight. And I still went out there and I did my thing, and I don't want to make any excuses, but again, that's why I'm happy to say, like, I got the W against a very tough guy, and to go against Ali Bagutinov is just remarkable to me because I watched him growing up.
And your style has always been a pressure cooker type style. You take people into quicksand and literally drown them. You saw at one point of that fight, you saw your opponent absolutely fucking break, and you know, you just grinded out, like went right into the unanimous decision. And so you shook hands with your opponent, you went to the cage. What do you know about your next opponent in the semifinals?
Yo, for me, I just have to swallow my pride. You know, again with Blaine O'Driscoll, a great fight, very back and forth in the stand-up, but if I would have wrestled, it would have been a much easier fight, or at least a much different fight. And yeah. I just took too much damage because of it, because again, I was just being prideful. So one, swallow my ego. Two, have my damn coach there, and given there was just time constraints, travel restrictions, you know, there was priority over this, and that was just, you know, my fault for having the last-minute fight change, and it's just things you can't really control. So I'm happy the way the fight went with the circumstances that I was given. You know, it's just the world. It's not Bray's fault. It's not anything's fault besides just life in general and travel restrictions. I'm going to blame it on COVID. But damn you, COVID. But with Ali, man, I commentated for that fight. Watching that fight, I'm just like, one, Dustin and Ali, you know, Ali being a former title contender, so he was at least one time ranked number one in the world behind the champion. And Dustin Ortiz ranked number three at the time by the time he was released by his former promotion. So for me, I'm like, these are two legends going at it. These are two flyweight pioneers, the best of the best, who's gone with some of the best, and I'm watching. I'm like, man, Ali's just one step ahead. It's like Funk versus Technique. Technique's always gonna win, and I know what I need to do in my fight. But if I perform the way I did pridefully in my last one, I'm 100% gonna lose, and that just shows how much respect I have for Ali, and that just shows how much I'm gonna do more for this camp.
Yeah, and you train with absolute savages. I mean, American Top Team is Murderer's Row.
Train in American Top Team.
Oh, you don't anymore?
No, I left with Dean and Jillian. American Top Team is an amazing gym. It really is, and I'm never, ever going to say anything bad, but when you have so many high-level guys and, again, high-level coaches, but you only have 10 high-level coaches with 100 high-level guys in the mat, you're only going to get so much attention, especially if Dustin's there, you know, Masvidal's there, Adrian Almoraes is there. All these guys that have big fights coming up, they're going to get a little more attention, and it's teammates helping teammates, which, again, is great, but I need someone, especially in my prime of my career, fighting Ali and possibly Dustin one day and Zach Mikowski and all these guys that are legends in the sport. I need someone to hold my hand and tell me. And when Dean Thomas left, I was like, man, that was really the only guy I had besides one or two more coaches there. And both Jillian and I looked at each other and were like, all right, we're just going to keep on cross-training. And there was a little, I guess, during the COVID, you know, American Top Team was like, hey, man, you got to stay here. We're like, we don't really get much work here without Dean. So, you know, we're just going to have to part ways respectfully. And so we decided to go with Dean Thomas. I live with him. So, like, he's literally two rooms down when I'm back home in Florida. And, you know, we train in the garage. My main training partner is Jillian Robertson and David Evans, which was now a Titan FC alum, has one fight in Titan FC. He was an IMUF alum, I think took silver and bronze. So he's another high level guy coming up, and you know, we're doing our thing. So it's, and we travel to different camps to be able, or different gyms like Fusion, different American Top Team branches and so much more to get the bodies and to get the sparring that we need. But man, Dean Thomas has been our caretaker. We call each other the Dean Disciples. You know, we're like, we're his little proteges. He tells us something to do, we're like, yes, master. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, and Jillian was actually on the show, and she was telling us about the great balancing act, because both her and Dean also got COVID during, like, I think yeah. It was, and it's like, I it blew my mind how, you, and especially going to you, who's, you build your brand and you did a quite, without the machine behind you, without the UFC or anybody behind you, you build your own brand. And you're a commentator. You're one of the top in the world as a fighter. Like, how do you do the great balancing act, especially with the Rona still going around?
So, one, when they got COVID, Dean got stuck in, I believe, Vegas or Abu Dhabi or wherever he was. He got stuck there for 2 weeks. Oh, and then Jillian's like, oh, man, that sucks. And then the next day, she's like, I'm feeling a little woozy. And then she was sick, and I was like, I feel fine, so I'm just gonna. I got nothing to do. Like, I got nothing to do. And at the time, if they, I shouldn't. But at the time, you know, they say if you've been close to somebody who's contracted COVID, then you have to quarantine as well. I was like, man, I feel fine. I'm just gonna go back home. So I left. I literally traveled from Florida to Chicago, and they're like, do you know Dean Thomas? I was like, Dean who? No, I never heard of him. You know, like, Din? It's spelled Din. I don't know who you're talking about. You know, so, you know, I was like, Gullion? I don't, you know, so I ended up leaving and doing my own thing for 2 weeks and then came back when they were perfectly fine. But, yeah, I don't believe I've contracted COVID yet. Knock on wood, if anyone wants to help me out there. But it was a hard time for them because, you know, you feel bad. And obviously, at the time with the media, everyone's like, oh, people are dying from COVID, this, that. You know, they're both people that are in shape. It just, you know, hit them like everyone else. They get sick for a few days and then, you know, have to come on back. It just sucks for Dean that he was literally physically stuck in a place for 2 weeks, even after feeling better. So I did feel bad for him. But, you know, I also laughed at him so much. But for me, as a professional fighter, I know fighting's not going to last forever. I 100% understand that. Honestly, I don't want fighting to last forever. I've been doing this since I was 4 years old, man. I got burnt out like 2 years ago, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore, especially when I got released by the UFC. You know, I went through a lot of mental depression where it's like, man, I built my whole career to make it to the UFC, the name brand, you know, our NFL, MLB, all that stuff, and then you're going to treat me the way you guys did. That's not fair, man. I had accolades that people have never had before, even still today that don't have. And I was like, whoa, if the UFC doesn't like me, obviously Brave is respecting me, doing more. Well, I need to build my own brand, especially being international. I got to do so much more to make myself notable. And you see yesterday's performance at Adrian Amorais versus DJ. There's great fighters outside the UFC. I'm one of them, Adriano, and there's so many more flyweights, and not just flyweights, but people in general. And I want to showcase that. You know, I want to showcase because I'm not in the UFC doesn't mean I'm not good. Doesn't mean this promotion is not good. Look at Khamzat Chimaev. Dude, this guy's one of the best fighters in the world, notable fighters, and he was a Brave contender, wasn't even a champion yet, and was going to fight for the title. And then, you know, he decided to go to the UFC after that because everyone has this UFC contract clause because they're like, oh, UFC's a name brand, and they're getting paid little money just to be a UFC fighter. And again, everyone has their own decision that's good for them. And I'm, again, I could say, hey, I did the same thing technically, so I can't be hypocritical. But, you know, for me, I got to make a brand. I got to commentate. I got to fight. I got to do food reviews, especially food reviews, because I just like food. I got to do so much more to make money, because honestly, I could be driving home after this interview, get into a car accident, and they're like, hey, you can't fight again. And then what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Well, I can't fight. So that's my main way of making money. I need to find out different ways to hustle, make sponsorships. Me, I'm doing investments, investing in restaurants, different businesses, and trying to do more. Cause you know, this money comes and goes very, very fast. And we're all very materialistic. I'm not worried about jewelry and this and that. Yeah, I love it. And that's great, but I need to do my own thing. That's build myself. I need to invest in myself, for my future. And if I have kids, I ever have a family, that's my main way of taking care of them. It's not fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's so many UFC, there's so many different brands out there. Like Brave is killing it. You have Paddy the Batty, who just signed the UFC. He never even had to because he was in Cage Warriors and he was doing a fantastic job. He had a huge fan base. He built up his brand just like you're doing. So do you feel it's not even necessary that now MMA is evolving to the point where there's so many different brands where you don't necessarily have to go into the UFC to build a brand. You know, Frank Shamrock was doing it when he didn't get signed to UFC or didn't return to UFC, and he was in Strikeforce, and he was bringing a following, Elite XC, he was bringing a following everywhere he went. Do you feel it's not necessarily in just fighters, you know, they put that and instill that in their head where if I don't go into UFC, if I don't get into UFC, I'm nothing. Like, do you think it's just like a mentality that fighters have, or what was, how did you get over that hump to build your brand to where it is today, where you have a huge following?
You know, I think even before I entered the UFC, I think I had 17,000 followers, which is awesome. Blue check mark already. And again, with some of these fighters coming in, they're taking advantage fully of social media. I mean, you might not be the fan of Kobe Covington and some of the guys, the way they speak, but man, if it sells tickets, if it gets you Instagram followers, you do what you got to do. I'm a fan of Manny Pacquiao fan, so I like waving. I like having fun. And the only time I'm going to be mean is inside the cage or ring and then having a good time doing it. But I'm never at all, at least my persona, I'm not going to create a persona, you know, King of Cringe or Kobe Covington, the badass or this or that. Like, everyone has their own persona and everyone has their own niche, and you have to find your own niche. Again, you hear WWE stories of The Rock going, I went through so many different personalities, so I found one. And then, you know, you blew up. Same thing with Stone Cold, Undertaker, all these guys. You're going to find something that suits you. And again, same thing for the fans. Do you need the UFC? I'm not saying you don't. Because you honestly, you definitely don't. If you promote yourself well enough and you're smart enough and you're actually committed enough, you'll find any way to be successful. But the UFC, especially for me and other fighters, Ken Shamrock and all these guys that didn't return back to the UFC after either they were released, finished their contracts, or decided not to come back in general and be a free agent, they've made a lot of money because they use that name that, hey, I'm a former UFC fighter. Given I only have two fights, but I can say I'm a UFC veteran. And that's all that matters. And that helps with my accolades, because people sometimes don't even say MMA anymore. They go, you do UFC. And at the time I was like, yeah, I do UFC. You know, that was the only, to me, that was the only benefit about joining the UFC. Cause I'm like, I do UFC. Yeah, it's awesome. Maybe I'll be in the game one day. But it's the fact of, you can build your brand. You just have to find out your little niche. And for me, yo, obviously I help my community. I sell t-shirts. I have my foundation. I invested in a business. I do a lot of things outside of that to promote myself. And especially if you're a fighter, man, again, the biggest thing is fighting's not going to last forever. Hell, no offense to anyone, but you might not be that good. How many people are in the UFC at whatever division at the time before the flyers were being demised? You have 40 guys in division, but there's only one champion. There's 40 guys in division before DJ finally left and Cejudo took over and then now Figueiredo. You have 40 guys in division. Literally all 40 guys couldn't make it to the top. You have one guy staying at the top. You don't make that much money until you make it to the top. And even DJ was like, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else because I'm going to make more money. You know, so unless you're Conor McGregor, unless you're Nate Diaz and you find your little role and you're, you know, whatever you need to do, man, you got to perform the way you want to perform. You have to commit to whatever role you want to play, whatever thing outside the UFC, outside whatever promotion, and take full advantage of what you have now. Because if you don't, man, it's, this career goes by so fast. And if you don't start acting now, man, time doesn't come back. So, and second chances are very, very rare in this career.
Gotcha. So I'll ask one more question, and then I'll get to a statement because I had a surprise for you via Justin Sims. But Jeff Bowler wants to know, who gave you your nickname, Shorty?
So my dad was in a gang growing up, and his nickname was Shorty G. And automatically, anyone in the gang was Shorty G because the gang's thing was Harrison Gents. And given I don't ever at all represent a gang, but I was born into it. It's just natural when your dad takes you to gang parties and you're hanging out with these people. Naturally, people are like, oh, it's a son. That's a little Shorty G. That's a little Shorty G. So automatically, besides being short, and I get it, I'm five four. I get it. The nickname sticks. It's easy to remember, especially with the name Jose. Dude, call me Shorty. You say Jose in my neighborhood, everyone's like, what? What's up? Work? You know, I was like, no. So I always said, call me Shorty. But after my dad passed, I'm like, you know what? I guess it's time to take reins of the word and name Shorty G and continue the legacy. And for me, it's not just the Shorty thing. It's the Shorty coming up and trying to do big things. It's Shorty G trying to say, you know, I guess in a sense, the little thug, like the Tupac song coming up. It's not Shorty with the fat ass and stuff like that. It's a whole different Shorty. It's a whole different Shorty.
Shorty wanted to get the...
Yeah, that's Shorty. That's a whole different one. But for me, nah, man, I represent the name of pride. And just saying that, in general, Shorty back in the 90s, at least, was the Shorty coming up, the little youthful young kid trying to come up and do big things over the seniors. And that's me, man. I'm always doing that every single day.
Okay, so before we'll let you go, so we talked to Justin Sims. That's how I met you. He made the introduction. I'm like, man, I got to get you on this phone. Yo, I got to shoot the shit with you, man. But Justin was so kind, because Justin's a great, great director, and he also films for Titan, where you were a champion. He said that you actually dabbled in acting. I think you need to pursue that also on top of your food channel, commentating, and fighting.
I definitely got to get back to that. That's something I do want to do.
Yes. So he actually was kind enough to send me your acting debut. It was an 8-minute clip. We won't watch all of it, but we want to show you a clip of Shorty Torres' acting debut.
Oh, man. That's so funny. So if people don't know, we made a random fan-made thing. We're just like, let's make a scary movie in the middle of Alabama because we're at this camp or this ranch. And we just decided to improv the whole thing. And it was just funny. Rami Ahmed was like the kicking killer, kind of like Van Damme. And it just all goes bad towards the end.
Right on. So we're gonna. I know you're strapped for time. We say 15 minutes, and we're
good. You're good.
Okay. All right. Let's watch some of this clip.
Have you seen this footage yet?
I have seen the footage, not in like as clear as this, but that's funny. Because this was getting ready for Lex's fight, Lex McMahon's fight, and we're.
Uh oh. You're naked, choke.
That's hilarious.
It's fucking hilarious, man. Bravo, brother.
I appreciate it. You gotta have some fun, but that's something I've always wanted to do. I've always been really fun, and that's why I like doing interviews and these food reviews now is like improv is my thing. Monologues and acting has always been my struggle because, dude, I get punched in the face for a living. I can barely remember names. Nevertheless, a 1 to 2 minute monologue. So, but that acting is something I've always wanted to dabble in. Maybe one day I just got to stop getting punched in the face first.
Fair enough.
I've watched a little more of it. I thought you were pretty good. Out of all of them, you were definitely the best.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. You know what? That's it. You're my number one fan. That's it.
Awesome. And so we're going to wrap this up. Obviously, the very multi-talented and the very, very busy Jose Shorty Torres, thank you so much for coming on. Where can we find you? Where can we find your food channel? I'm sure my girl would want to look at that. Everybody would like to look at that. But where can we find you? And when is going to be your next fight so we can watch it on
Man, I know I definitely wouldn't want to follow me. Just follow me. Definitely the food. For sure the food. But if people want to help support me, everything's going to be on my channel, Jose Shorty Torres on IG, Inside Team Shorty on YouTube, Shorty Torres MMA on Twitter and Facebook. And if people want to help my foundation, the link in my bio right now on Instagram, again, Jose Shorty Torres, 100% of the proceeds of the shirt sales on both my website, teamshorty.com, and the link in my bio, that's an IG, again, a whole different website from Graphics Bar that's making my new t-shirts. 100% of the proceeds go to my foundation to help kids, teens, and young adults stay inside the gym and off the streets. For me, I believe my father and brother would have had a phenomenal opportunity because they were so athletic, but never had the positive father figures, mentors like that growing up. And for me, no offense to them, they weren't the best, and I needed to venture out, and the gym helped save my life, especially from gangs and drugs and violence, which I was getting involved in all the time here. So guys, please help support my foundation, definitely domestic sales with the link in my bio on IG, and then international sales with teamshorty.com. It'll help support everyone, and that's why I always do say, we will, together we are Team Shorty. None of that money goes to me, 100% goes to my foundation, and again, Team Shorty Foundation on all platforms as well.
One of the best fighters and one of the best human beings in the game, Shorty Torres, thank you so much for sparing the time with us. I know you're busy. Thank you so much for coming on the show, brother.
I appreciate it, guys. Please take care of yourself, and I can't wait to do it again.
Fuck yeah, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Fuck yeah, man. Team Shorty. That's right, Justin. Thank you, Justin, for giving us that clip. Justin called me. He's like, bro, listen. I got some footage. We were like in fucking bumblefuck place in Alabama. And we got some, we shot like a short clip and you got to play it on the show. And I'm like, bet. So he sent me the clip and we just add that in the show. Like, right away. I'm like, send it right to the producer, man. Send it right to Matt. And we got to ask Justin if we can actually post that. We can post that on Fight Mixer, and we can post it on the channel.
Well, I mean, that portion of it, but I don't know if I want to do the whole thing because he sent me more.
I mean, Justin's a friend of ours.
Doesn't care about it, yeah, we'll definitely put it up wherever he wants to put it.
Yeah, we'll ask Justin. I'll ask Justin if we can post the entire thing, monetize it. Maybe it can go to Shorty Torres' foundation. That'd be cool. That'd be dope. Fuck yeah, man.
All right. Well, go ahead.
You want to wrap this up like a Christmas present already?
Why not?
I mean, what else are we talking about? Is there anything going around in MMA? I mean, Jake Paul's still a pussy.
Well, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's I think tomorrow night we're going to do a live stream of the Fight Circus stuff John Nutt is actually putting on. It's in Thailand. They're fighting, and then we'll do a live stream and watch it and comment with everybody and have some fun. Cool. So look for us tomorrow at about the same time.
Yeah, actually getting rights to stream it, which is pretty dope. And Bob the Beast Sapp and a friend of the show, John Nutt, is actually putting on this event. Hopefully we'll have Bob the Beast Sapp and John Nutt to come on the show. I like to pick Bob the Beast Sapp's brain, because he was in Tough Man. First, he trained at WCW Power Plant. So his first thing was he was going to be a pro wrestler. Then he went to Tough Man competitions. I remember seeing him on Tough Man competitions. Then he landed in Japan. And Bob Sapp is such an interesting creature, because Bob Sapp was like, if I can Vulcan mind trip you guys back in like 2001, 2002, 2000, like around 2002, early 2003, Bob Sapp was on the cover of Time magazine. He was on Jay Leno. He was one of the first MMA fighters during the dark days of mixed martial arts, where he landed on Jay Leno and got publicity. They had a rap album like Sapp Time. Like, he had like a music album. He was one of the biggest deals. He fought Antonio Nogueira, who's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. And this was Bob the Beast Sapp, maybe his third fight or fourth fight, and powerbombed the fuck out of him. Like, literally dropped him on his fucking neck and almost beat one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world at the time, Antonio Nogueira. So Bob Sapp wasn't the Bob Sapp you know today. And people like make jokes like, oh, Bob Sapp sucked. At one point in time, he almost beat the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, Antonio Nogueira, and almost, you know, beat the heavyweight champion, which is fucking mind-blowing to me. Fucking mind-blowing. Bob Sapp was not always a flopper, and he also beat Ernesto Hoos in K1 twice. And Ernesto Hoos is one of the greatest kickboxers who ever lived, which that was mind-blowing to me too, before Miracle Curl Cop stopped that fucking hype train. So, little fact tidbit about Bob Sapp. We got to bring him on the show, so I have a lot of questions for him. A lot of questions. Because I don't like the misconceptions about Bob Sapp, because I remember watching him. And I'd love to shoot the breeze with him. And
John Nutt is definitely on point. He said he's going to come on. Bob Sapp, I sent him a message and I asked John. I sent him a text and then I asked John if he would reach out to him too, and you know, see if we could get him on, because he's quite legendary.
Yeah. And, you know, the MMA nut huggers and the new people in the sport were like, oh, fucking Bob Sapp sucks. No, at one point in time, he was one of the best in the world, which is fucking mind-blowing to a lot of people. But maybe the sport was in its infancy and it didn't evolve yet fully. But at one point in time, yeah, Bob Sapp was one of the best pound-for-pound and scariest bad motherfuckers. He was actually supposed to fight Mike Tyson, believe it or not, 2004. Crazy enough. They got into the ring, got into a big scuffle. I believe it's on YouTube, but he was supposed to fight Mike Tyson in K1.
Right on. Well, it was a great show. I know you're a busy guy. You got stuff to do. Look how good looking you look. You look like you're heading out for the evening.
No, I'm not, actually.
You're not?
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not.
All right.
Are you hitting on me, Matt?
What's that?
Are you hitting on me, Matt? Really? You're in the middle of the show? What's going on here? My girlfriend watches the show.
Oh, my bad.
I don't want her.
You look like horse shit.
Thank you. Much better. It's also my birthday on Monday, so happy birthday.
23. To me. 23.
Turning 34, man.
It's 34. My bad.
It's a boner shrinker. I'm telling you, man. I'm feeling old. I feel in my bones. Unbelievable.
All right, people. Join us tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have this live stream going. And yeah. Clay, if you're still watching, we want to have you on to hang out with us.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to call my cousin after this and see if he wants to partake in it. Everybody watch Bob the Beast Sapp fighting tomorrow. It's going to be a live stream event.
You can come on too.
Yeah. You can do it on Pornhub too. It's on fucking Pornhub? Really?
No, it's not Pornhub. It's being streamed to like some sort of a site like that. But it's
what? Okay, I don't fucking get it. Okay, anyway, boys and girls, all my bros and hoes in different area codes with swollen lymph nodes. From everybody at the Fight Mixer, Matt, final thoughts?
Drink more Dringer.
Drink more Dringer, baby. And final thoughts from me, happy birthday to me.
Oh, yeah, and happy birthday to David.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, but fuck you. Yo, ladies and gentlemen, from all of us at the Fight Mixer, remember to download it on Amazon or Apple TV or Roku.
Oh, yeah.
We're top 11 in the world. Who wants my autograph? Who wants to touch me? Seriously. And we miss Gabe. He's going to be back on the next episode. We'll talk about our commentating and all that fun stuff. So we'll talk about our adventure in Cali. So, ladies and gentlemen, from the Fight Mixer, we will see you next week. From Matt and myself, peace out, Cub Scouts. I'll see you next round. Have a good one. Enjoy your
week. See you tomorrow.
Peace. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.